Danny Meringue.
I found two empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Hour number three here on a Friday afternoon. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along at youtube.com/1080AM The Fan, or twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thanks for hanging out with us on this crappy Friday.
Weather's not great, Bob.
Not great outside. Ruined my weekend. Thanks, weather.
Don't worry about that. You have a great weekend.
I know.
You went with that attitude.
No. The weekend is ruined. The plans are ruined.
All right.
So that's what we got. You know what else we got? That college football rivalry trophy matchup. Bum, 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 bum. We have our winners from yesterday, hotly contested, down to the stretch. I had to wait until the poll actually went final because it was so close.
Oh.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, that's a tease.
You like that? You like that? I got to make sure I get to the right tweet because there's just so many of these things. The first one, not close. The Silver Spade of UTEP, New Mexico State beat the living crap out of Jefferson Epps. Which, yeah, it should. Silver Shovel rules.
Silver Shovel is awesome. The Silver Spade, isn't that what they call it?
Yes, the Silver Spade.
A spade.
And our second matchup, also an absolute throttling. The Little Brown Jug of Michigan, Minnesota.
Little guy.
Wins 81-19 over the Battle of I-75.
Little Brown Jug.
And
easy winner there.
This one, lopsided as could be. The oil can goes down in a heap against the Fremont Cannon.
Wow.
Cannon wins 66-33.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's go, Fremont Cannon.
And at the wire, the golden cannon of CMU and WMU upsets the Apple Cup.
Okay.
52-48.
We're doing things right then.
Finally got that one right.
Okay, we are doing things right. The little golden cannon is not the best of the Cannon trophies.
No, but it's better than the Apple Cup trophy. It's not a good trophy.
Better than the Apple Cup trophy. The rivalry deserves a better trophy than what it currently has.
Mm-hmm.
Cougs and Huskies, they deserve a better trophy than the cup that has a silver apple affixed to the top.
Do like a silver applejack. Something.
That's right.
Get weird with it.
Get us something good.
Our matchups for today, the Floyd of Rosedale, the big old pig of Iowa and Minnesota against the old brass platoon of Michigan State and Indiana. Currently, the Floyd of Rosedale is working the old brass platoon. It is 66-33 right now.
I'm a big fan of the Floyd of Rosedale.
I'm a big fan of the spittoon.
We do not have... The picture that we have now is not the shiny spittoon. It appeared that the Tarnex was applied by Indiana when they won it. Mm. They shinied this bad boy up. Looks a bit more weathered in our current picture that we have with Michigan State hoisting the trophy.
It looks like it was used.
But...
It's a spittoon!
The Floyd of Rosedale has everything that we could want. The rivalry started because Minnesota was a bunch of racists towards Iowa's players, and they were like, we're not having that. So what they did was they created a trophy that was a pig, because they're pigs from Iowa and Minnesota, and they got Floyd of Rosedale from an Iowa farm, and then they named him after the governor of Minnesota because... They were like, you guys are wrong by it. You did wrong by us. No, we're going to name this thing after your governor because you guys are a bunch of jerks. Mm. And that's how a great rivalry trophy should be made. And it is exquisite. A show pig for your trophy? Let's go.
And now the trophy's a trophy pig with a blanket over the top. So it's actually a pig in a blanket.
There you go. Pig in a blanket.
So,
which are delicious.
It's true. Have you ever had a pig in a blanket and been disappointed?
Can't say I have. Can't say that I have.
The Shillelagh of Notre Dame-Purdue is up against the Stanford Axe of Stanford and Cal.
Oh, this is a big one.
It's a big matchup.
This is a tough one.
Yeah. It's currently 59-41 in favor of the Shillelagh of Notre Dame-Purdue.
Yeah, it's got a kicker on it. I'm out.
I don't know why. We have to figure out why they put kickers on everything. Is it because when the trophies came around, nobody threw the ball yet?
I think so.
Probably?
I think so. So, I'm going Stanford Axe because, as we outlined in the first round, the theft has been involved several times with this. There have been multiple thefts of the Stanford Axe, and it has been held hostage. So I am in, 100% in on the Stanford Axe over the shillelagh that has a kicker on it.
I like it. Coming up next, the Seminole War Canoe of Florida and Miami, where a Seminole is not involved, is taking on the Golden Hat of Oklahoma and Texas. And out of the gate, the Seminole War Canoe is up 60-40.
And this is egregious.
Surprise.
This is egregious. The Golden Hat is a phenomenal trophy. You could take it off of its base and you could put it on your head. It's an elite trophy.
Yeah. Are we going to lose the Spurs and the Golden Hat in back-to-back rounds?
We might.
My goodness.
That's a shame. That's a travesty, a sham, and a mockery. It's a trav-sham mockery.
And then the Commander's Trophy of Army, Navy, Air Force is taking on the Platypus of Oregon, Oregon State, and you locals are disgusting. Disgusting.
I supported the troops.
You hate the troops.
I supported the troops.
Out there.
Again.
72-28.
Another right Northwest trophy that deserves a better actual trophy.
The idea is
the rivalry
good.
Needs more.
The trophy is not.
Yes. The idea is great.
Yes.
A platypus is a great idea for the Ducks and Beavers playing. It's half duck, half beaver.
Yes.
How could you not?
Have a duck and a beaver fighting in like a yin-yang kind of thing and then have like a platypus sitting on top of it. Like, go weird.
I think that people may be like, I think that beaver and that duck are making that platypus baby.
There you go.
No. I think you just need to have a badass platypus. Give me a badass platypus. That's what I
yes.
want. Make it out of like volcanic rock.
Or do it like Donald Duck animation style. Get Disney to do an irritated platypus.
I don't want Disney touching this trophy. I want something that is just cooler than what they
What
got.
Do you want the Oregon State, whoever designed the Nutria to do the...
I don't want that.
Okay.
I don't want that either.
Maybe just do a hybrid of the two.
Oh, hey.
They sit down and do a collaboration.
Now we's talking.
Mm. Too bad you can't get Walt Disney back from the dead.
No.
But also, you guys are disgusting. Look, the Commander's Trophy is not a great trophy. It is a good trophy with incredible history.
Yeah.
The Civil War trophy, the platypus, it's not good.
We need better.
We deserve better,
if we're being honest.
Be better about your votes.
Yeah. Be better. Care more.
Care more.
Care more.
I can tell you right now, there's somebody else who needs to care maybe a little bit less about the media. Deion Sanders is firing back across the media, also apologizing to another. We'll get to that and more coming up here on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan. Well, we're getting a full-on crash course as it pertains to Deion Sanders, Colorado, and media literacy. If you remember previously, Deion Sanders went after a local CBS reporter because the national CBS had an issue with Deion Sanders over a project that didn't come to fruition. And it was very petty, it was very dumb, and not drawing the lines between those two things. As somebody who should know better, it's not like Deion hasn't been around the block. He knows. So to link those two together is dumb because it's an affiliate. There's literally no line to draw.
Yep.
So because of that, Deion did realize the error of his ways and offer a mea culpa.
Is the guy here from CBS?
No, sir.
Who's here from CBS?
Romy was.
God bless you. Tell him. He know. I know. Yeah, but I want everybody to know we're good. We was good then, but they seem like we wasn't good. We're good. I love him and I appreciate him. Tell him I do a sit down one on one with him. We're good. We're good now. Yeah, we've been good, but we're really good now.
First of all, that's not really an apology. Like, people made it seem like we're not good. You refused to answer his question.
Yeah, in front of everyone.
You made it seem like you weren't good with him. No. You're the one who made it seem like you weren't good. Like, it wasn't. People made it seem like that. No, you did that.
Yeah, that was on you.
You are the one who made this
issue. We're all looking for the guy who's responsible for this.
He's like, I don't know. I don't know how we got here, but here we are.
Doesn't make any sense. Well, that situation has been taken care of. That fire put out.
Sure.
The Denver Post has put out an article today.
And, you know, good on him for publicly saying that, hey, we're fine, but take some culpability there, Deion.
Yes. I mean, he did about as much as I expected. Deion Sanders will no longer answer columnist Sean Keeler's questions, CU says, citing sustained personal attacks.
Now, this one has more legs than the CBS thing.
So, in a statement provided to the Post editors on Friday, department officials said the decision was due to what perceived as a series of sustained personal attacks in Keeler's coverage of the football program. Now, look, there is a way to write critically without making it personal. But there's also a way to be personal and be critical at the same time.
Yep.
I feel like this definitely leans more towards the targeted attacks as opposed to editorial. These are the Post asked for specific examples from Colorado in response to this. And here's the responses that they sent back using Keeler's own language as it pertains to Deion Sanders. A sports information staffer cited the use of phrases such as, and not limited to, but such as false prophet, deposition Deion, Planet Prime, Bruce Lee of BS, the Deion Kool-Aid, and circus.
Okay, in all of this, I think the ones that are not personal attacks.
Circus.
I think circus is, come on. Get over that.
Circus is fine.
It is a circus there.
Yeah.
Okay.
False prophet's pretty far, particularly when you factor in Prime being outwardly religious.
And I think the Deion Kool-Aid, I think that one is also fair as well, because there are so many instances that you can say of, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid of any coach, yes, right? The Deion Kool-Aid and how it stands. I think false prophet is very pointed and attacked, and yes, that's personal. Deposition Deion is very personal. Planet Prime can be used as an attack, sure, but I mean, you have to have thicker skin if you're a head coach.
Bruce Lee of BS is hilarious,
is
but
very, very targeted.
But it's targeted.
It's so good.
It's good. And it's wrong. It's good.
And he's not so wrong, but it's very targeted. Yes.
All I can think of is the who is it that plays Bruce Lee in the Tarantino movie?
I don't know.
God,
I don't know.
But he does such a great job, and that's all I can picture is Deion as that. It's like, God, that's a really good mental imagery.
So this is not nearly as, this isn't like the CBS thing, because Deion had thin skin there, and it was totally unwarranted. There are a couple of these that we can all point to and be like, yeah, that's really pointed, and those are kind of cheap shots. But also, the kind of cheap shots that all coaches that struggle across the world of college football, they get these sorts of things.
This is not the Post's first time dealing with this.
No.
This has happened with the Nuggets as well. They had a reporter there that is looked at with some disdain, because it seems like he outwardly does not only not like the Nuggets, but not basketball.
Well, that's a problem, and that's your job.
Might want to just get somebody else on the coverage. But as far as it pertains to this particular situation, CU Athletics have specified that the punishment, as it were, or edict, is that the action is indefinite. And that Keeler is still welcome. He is still credentialed. He is just not permitted to ask questions of Colorado football and Deion Sanders. He is permitted to ask questions about other programs and athletic administrators. So it's just Deion.
This is something that Deion does have in his contract too, which is it only requires him to speak to mutually agreed upon media. And he has that in his contract. So that is something that is different than other coaches on Colorado staff. But when you go and you're the University of Colorado and you're trying to get a coach of the profile of Deion Sanders, you use that leverage and you try to get those sorts of clauses instituted into your contract. And Deion did do that. So if Deion doesn't want to speak to a guy, then sure, don't do it. Right. And that is totally okay. This is the whole idea, though, around everything that Deion has cultivated and created at the University of Colorado. It's all magnified. This would not be as big of a story had it been another coach around college football. But when Deion came in saying, I'm bringing Louis, he's turning over the roster, he's going to be the portal king, he's going to do all this, they're going to win, and they're going to win right away. Yeah, everything else gets amplified when you go 4-8 and you go 1-8 in conference play. But that's where things get silly for you.
It gets a little sideways.
And now he is not used to dealing with this. And the fact that I still think it's ridiculous. In CU's press release, Colorado, it's Coach Prime. Everything is Coach Prime. It's not Coach Sanders. Mm-hmm. It's not Deion Sanders.
No.
It is Coach Prime. And Deion has a very, very, very large aspect of, I can dish it, but I can't take it.
Sure.
And he has said things like, you know, hey, we don't talk, we react to everything. And then literally that week,
he'll talk.
No, you see the video that Oregon releases of Shiloh Sanders yelling at Oregon's players warming up. Mm. Right? Like, and that's not Deion specifically, but he's talking about his team, and the kid on his team that was doing it happens to be his son. You know, there have been a lot of these things where the dish it and take it, they have not been able to do both. You cannot dish it and take it out of Colorado. And now, look, these are personal attacks, and some of them are legitimate personal attacks on Deion, then don't talk to him. And I'm totally okay with that. Totally fine with that. But there is going to be, if Colorado does not win, he said that he's going to be at Colorado and he's going to stay and he's going to want to win and build something there. Something tells me that he does pull the ripcord. Colorado doesn't do it, but he does at the end of this year with everything that has been
already piling up.
Yeah.
Eesh.
Yep. That's brutal, dude.
All right, so that's our latest, As the Prime Turns.
Ooh, I like this.
Like that?
Mm. As the Prime Turns.
Yeah. Coming up next, America's favorite game show, Jeff Russ. Or first, he's the Big Kahuna himself with Sports on Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
It's Friday afternoon. It's 2:30-ish. This might be the closest-ish we've ever been to.
Yeah, buddy.
Which means it's time for America's favorite game show, Jeff Russ.
Or
fire it up, Mr. Rust.
Anthony Richardson.
Mm.
Another rough outing last night in the Colts' 27-14 win over the Bengals' backups. He did lead the team to a touchdown on their opening drive, going 7 of 8 for 65 yards with a 9-yard touchdown pass to A.D. Mitchell.
He sure did.
Yes, but the rest of the night, covering 4 series, 1 for 6 for 21 yards with an interception return for a score by Jordan Battle. Yeah, so Anthony Richardson.
Again, that should be two touchdowns he threw.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So Anthony Richardson, just shaking off the rust?
Or
genuine cause for concern?
I think shaking off the rust. I know how hypocritical I sound between him and Justin Fields, but there's just something about Richardson that strikes me that didn't with Fields.
That he didn't go to Ohio State?
That could be part of it.
Yeah, you had a thing against Ohio State quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, to be fair, they were like USC quarterbacks.
That is very true.
They just were never, ever, 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 ever good in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, and then CJ Stroud had it. Yep. I'm more concerned. I am more concerned. Because when you have your only successful drive is that of scripted plays, that is a big red flag there, because we've seen a lot of quarterbacks that can be really good when the script is there and you're seeing exactly what you thought you were going to see out the gate and things are very vanilla. But a game plan in the NFL only lasts that drive. A game plan in college football will last you like a half. A game plan in high school football is the game plan. It is what you expect is what you're going to get. In the NFL, you have to have adaptability, and that is a concern, because what does he do when the S hits the fan? Tucks the ball and runs, right? When mm-hmm. it's something that he's uncomfortable with, and that will get him hurt. So even if he does clean some other of the accuracy things up, the big issue is, will he continue to try to run the way he did, and that will lead to another series of injuries.
Jets head coach Robert Saleh says starters won't play in the team's preseason finale tomorrow against the Giants. That means Aaron Rodgers' first post-injury snaps will be in the season opener Monday, September 9th at the Niners. Remember, he was lost for the season on his fourth play in last season's opener. Aaron Rodgers leads the Jets to the playoffs.
Or
Are you stupid or something?
I'm going to say goes to the playoffs because that division is in flux.
We got some question marks.
There's plenty of question marks. And as much as Rodgers has not played in preseason games, he's also on record as saying this is one of the hardest camps he's had in years because of the practices that they have had, the inter-squad scrimmages. He said he has taken something like 300-plus snaps, like live snaps, in practice already. So he doesn't feel like they need to put him out there for the preseason.
And this is the change that I've been signaling we were going to have, right? It is that these inter-squad scrimmages are going to mean more than preseason games are. They're happening more and more often. Joint practices are here to stay. NFL Network and ESPN are going to start televising them because of the fact that that is where you will see starters more than you ever will in a preseason football game.
Do you think a defensive end is going to eventually take a cheap shot at one of these quarterbacks? It's going to be a problem.
Yeah, because
it's going to happen. Somebody's going to chirp off, or somebody's going to try and make a team, and then we're into a whole different.
But that is where the self-policing are going to be way more, because
somebody's going to get the crap kicked out of them.
And your own coaches are like, you don't do this in practice. You do not do that in practice, because even in a preseason game, you do get paid, albeit far less.
Yes,
but when you start taking away a guy's ability to make money, that's when people get pissed. And that, I highly doubt. Like, we'll see the skirmishes. A quarterback, no. A high-end receiver, though,
might get smoked across the middle.
That's where we might be on to something.
That linebacker says, all right, this guy's getting a little too chippy.
Yep, because, like, you would see if it was a quarterback, it wouldn't just be the other team jumping you. Your guys would be like, yeah, nah, you don't do that. Yeah. You don't do that. But a receiver? Because
what happens on the next possession? Now your quarterback's in the crosshairs.
Uh-huh. Yep, and you don't want that.
But I still think somebody's going to be stupid enough.
There's always somebody stupid enough.
They just don't realize it.
Yeah. There always is somebody stupid enough.
I don't know if you guys are aware of this or not, but we got real live college football tomorrow. Week zero, taking you from 9 a.m. all the way to about midnight. We got Montana State at New Mexico, SMU at Nevada. Delaware State finally made it to Hawaii 2 days after they missed their flight out of New York. But the, I guess, air quotes, marquee matchup is the Aer Lingus College Football Classic coming from Aviva Stadium in Dublin, Ireland. Number 10, Florida State and Georgia Tech. Seminoles are 10-point favorites. Florida State covers.
Florida State covers.
I'm gonna go the other way.
You're going Ramblin' Wreck.
I think I'm gonna go Ramblin' Wreck here to care. It's early season, and this is when stuff gets weird. So one team's further along in their development, their install's better, whatever it is.
One
of these games. We get one of these every single year. Not a preeminent matchup, but a relatively top 30 team.
Yeah.
Gets punched in the mouth by a team outside the top 25, and you're going, what the hell?
Yeah.
I think Florida State wins, but I think this thing's close.
You think it's closer?
I think this is 27-20.
I think they may want to run it up, to be quite honest. Because they need that perception. We were good last year. We're still going to do it. But that also could lead to them falling flat on their face.
I mean, running it up might be putting the ball in DJ's hand more, which may not be good.
Georgia Tech still running that, the triple option?
No, they got Brent Key now.
Ah, gotcha.
That's part of the thing. They've distanced themselves from the Ram and Wrecking part of that.
Yeah.
Can we just bring like a hybrid? Can we bring like a hybrid spread option?
Yeah, it's called the zone read.
I know, but nobody stays true to it anymore.
Yeah, well, because defense have wisened up.
No, just...
They are...
I like having a little bit of weirdness in the schedule.
Yeah.
I miss that.
I formation's going to be that. It's coming back.
There we go. Yesterday we talked about Miami, Ohio coach Chuck Martin accusing Alabama of stealing Lou Groza Award winner Graham Nicholson.
You can't steal Graham.
Right? New Tide head coach Kalen DeBoer responded, saying the school did nothing wrong. Quote, he entered the portal and we reached out to him. That's how it goes, right? So we did everything the way you're supposed to. End quote.
How did he get in that portal?
Look over here.
Yeah.
Hey, you two. Look over here.
Above board.
Or
dirty pool.
dirty pool.
That pool. That pool's been peed in so many times.
Brother, this isn't a shot against Kalen DeBoer. This is a shot against the system right now. This is the system, and everybody's playing the same game. And it sucks for Miami of Ohio.
Yeah. They took our kicker. All I picture is the kid riding down the mountain on the bicycle now. I want my kicker.
Yeah.
Instead of his $2, just wants his kicker.
Wants that kicker.
The Mariners fired Scott Servais yesterday. Seattle held a 10-game lead over Houston on June 18th. Mm. They now trail by 5.5 games. That's quite the swing. Winning the division seems to be their only hope at the playoffs as they enter the day 7.5 games out of the wild card with both the Red Sox.
Seems to be as aggressive.
Right, yeah.
It is the only way.
With both the Red Sox and the Rays in their way. The Mariners, 26th in on-base percentage, 27th in runs per game, 29th in slugging, and dead last in both batting average and strikeout percentage.
Lord.
Yeah, right?
Good thing Edgar's the new hitting coach.
I mean, they don't just suck, they blow, too.
At the same time.
Yeah. Goodness.
It sucks and blows. It sure does.
Yeah. I love Wayne's World. Still hope for the postseason?
Or
better luck next year.
It would be very fun. Very fun. It would be Major League-esque if they win one for the Gipper kind of deal here against the grain and have Dan Wilson and Edgar Martinez lead them on that charge. But they couldn't hit anything to save their life. So, no. It's not happening.
Yeah, it's not. I think
if any team could, it's this team because of their pitching. Because the pitching is so good. If they just got to decent hitting, they'd be there. But I don't think they can.
I doubt it, too. I mean, you can bring in a new coach, but Zebra doesn't change his stripes. The Mariners do...
Have they tried cutting off the stripes, cooking them, and eating them?
No, they have not gone full...
Colts guy?
Colts guy.
Yeah.
They do have the 25th easiest schedule in baseball remaining, where they have 7 games against the A's, 7 games against the Rangers, 3 against the Cardinals, and 3 against the Angels. They also have 3 game sets against the Yankees and the Astros. And then you look at their toughest series remaining, 3 against the Yankees, 2 against the Padres, 3 against the Astros, 3 against the Rays, 3 against the Giants. It's not a murderer's row. They can make up ground, but it's going to take a sweep of the Houston Astros later this next month.
Which, I mean, I think we can all agree we'd all love to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of us would love to see that. All 3 of us in this room.
That's not true at all. That's not something I would like to see one bit. That's not something I would like to see at all.
That's it for that. But one other fun little baseball nugget. We were talking about this in the break and the other day. So Monday, they're continuing a June 26th game between the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. Sox manager Alex Cora announced that on Monday, Danny Jansen will substitute in for Reese McGuire at catcher, who's not on the current roster. And fun little note, Danny Jansen was on those Blue Jays when that game was called. And an even funner note, he was at bat. So when he comes in to catch, he will be catching what was previously his own at bat. And so the Blue Jays will have to put in a pinch hitter.
It'd be a lot cooler if he had to pinch hit and catch at the same time.
I saw that.
First time in MLB history.
First time MLB in MLB history that we have a player catching for the opposing team that he formerly played for.
Mm-hmm.
And
in the same game.
Obviously, the first time he's catching his own at bat.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
That's crazy.
In the same game.
I did that all the time, though, as a kid. I was the pitcher, the hitter, and the catcher. I did all of that.
Absolutely.
Apparently, though,
game up.
There would have been one more...
I'll speed it up.
Like, weird stipulation had it got an extra pitcher. So the count was only 0-1. Had it been 0-2 and the pinch hitter strikes out, the at-bat still would have been credited to Jansen.
Oh, that would have been great. He's like, walk him. We're going to walk him.
Give him a walk. My average.
So, yeah, there we go.
So if he would have gotten hit by a pitch, would he have gotten hit by a pitch... that he caught?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Mind blown.
Yeah. These are the things that Pat McAfee would have had running through his head during his show today.
Had he not gotten hammered?
Yeah.
Or because he was hammered.
He admitted on ESPN today that he was, in his own words, S-faced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he was canned. They had to
during the show.
They had to cut away and go to SportsCenter.
Yeah. He said that he had taken a 100 milligram edible on the flight over. And which, then was,
oh my God,
pounding beers.
Yeah.
And then you could see as the show went on, he started slurring more and more and more and more.
Did he just fly there and then just show up for the show?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that, like,
that seems like an odd move.
This is what I thought.
A transatlantic flight straight into a show?
This is what I thought Pub 1080 was going to be on Wednesday. I thought that McAfee was
100 milligram edible would kill Rob.
No, I'm thinking Suk would have been playing the role of McAfee there, where he's just drinking throughout the show, and then all of a sudden at the end he's like, I don't know how this happened, but here I am. Who would have thought this happened?
I kind of want to
see. But he didn't do it.
What would happen if you did give Rob a 100 milligram edible?
It wouldn't be good radio, because I don't think he'd be talking much.
Not much. He'd be watching the animals crawling up the walls.
He'd be sitting there looking like a praying mantis.
Full T-Rex.
He would be praying mantis arms just like, yeah.
Be out there looking like Ray Gun at the Olympics.
He would. He would go full Ray Gun.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I would pay to see that.
Including laying on his side. Yeah. Flailing.
Yeah. Flopping around like a tuna.
My sciatica.
That's exactly how that would go. So we don't actually have to wonder. It's like pretty. I think that.
I think it's more. I just like to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we'd like to see it.
I think it'd be
He'd
fun.
Be like, I can't feel my knees.
or he could feel his knees too much.
I can't feel my ankles.
He'd be wondering where the wild things are, huh?
100%. Coming up next, the GOAT returns. Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. The GOAT makes his return. That's right. Pete Carroll's returning to USC.
Oh, yeah.
As a teacher.
I'd take a course taught by Pete Carroll. I think that would be fantastic.
I would be interested in learning it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What is he teaching?
I'd probably get pretty tired of all that gum smacking after about 10 minutes.
You're gum smacking.
I don't know what he's teaching.
How about that, Russ?
Every
single press release says it's just teaching a class at USC.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't specify what.
All right, just a class.
I would imagine that USC just did this as a roundabout way of being like, come on back, Pete.
Be close.
Be around the program again.
Be closer to us. We desperately need you back.
They need the vibes. They need, for those wondering, Pete has only met with the Seattle staff once, the Seahawks staff. He met McDaniels in the parking lot in a transition period, and they talked privately, and that was it.
Yeah, he is in an advisory role for the Seahawks.
Not advising a lot of the coaching staff.
Has been advising the Washington Huskies. Mm-hmm. His son, Brennan, is the offensive coordinator at UW. And that would be, I mean, that's a slippery slope right there if you're bringing him back into the USC program, because it's like, yeah, my kid coaches at UW.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Where the allegiance lie. But also,
yeah, with your kid.
Isn't there a Belichick up there, too?
And it's Stevie Belichick is the defensive coordinator up there.
Lunatic is up there.
Yeah.
With that mullet.
Yeah, dude.
Among many other things.
But a wickedly smart defensive mind.
Mm-hmm. But USC is bringing back Pete Carroll in the first iteration.
SC and UW play November 2nd, the Carroll Bowl.
With Reggie Bush fully back in the fold.
Does he show up in one of those double jerseys, split down the middle?
Oh, God.
In his white Air Monarchs?
That's totally going to happen, and it's going to be awful.
But with Reggie Bush back in the fold, Pete was the next part of this, because Leinart's always been a part of USC. There was never any distancing, regardless of how much money he got. But there's also been, I think, in the media and the general zeitgeist of USC, like, how is this going to work with Pete Carroll and his, you know, previous reign and his aura, as it were, at USC with Lincoln Riley? And Lincoln Riley addressed that.
Great. Coach has been great to me. We've had a chance to catch up pretty often, check in with each other. He's been a great resource and a great person to be able to pick his brain, and he's been very good to me. So yeah, shoot, I'm excited he's going to be here more, and would be crazy to not take advantage of having him around. So whether it's in an official role or not, He's made it very clear that, you know, we've got a good open line of communication. It's one that I appreciate and respect very much, and we'll always never hesitate to pick up the phone and call him or to reach out to him, because of obviously how successful he was as a coach. And he's obviously got a great knowledge of this place. I've been appreciative of his help and his friendship, and be glad to have him around a lot more.
That's smart from Lincoln Riley. Even if he doesn't believe a single part of it, it's smart to say. Pete has a near universal approval rating at USC, around USC. And I think that Lincoln could learn a lot from Pete in how to politicize things, how to properly handle the politics of it all. And if anyone could, it is Pete. He showed how you can be at the very top at that university, regardless of how different college football is. How you run things matters at that university, and how he had everyone in lockstep, that's something Lincoln needs to aspire to.
Now, do you worry a little bit that maybe this feels like USC's going down the path of Michigan? Remember when Michigan was so desperate for like the Michigan man?
Yes, and they ran wanting the Michigan man.
Yeah, and they went outside, because remember, USC infamously hiring only USC alums to be the athletic director.
Yeah, Lynn Swann.
And ran it into the ground.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to get out of that way by, they did get a phenomenal athletic director from the University of Washington, Lincoln, coincidentally. But you go in and now it's like you want so badly to be the pass that you're trying to connect. And like, it just kind of feels like the barbs that Rich Rodriguez got, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the brightest offensive minds was doing things that nobody else was doing in college football. They bring him into Michigan and they're like, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
And they run him out of town, right? And now you got kind of the same thing with Lincoln Riley, albeit a younger version of Rich Rod at that time. I think Rich Rod was like 45 at that point. But Rich Rod has won everywhere except for at Michigan at a really high level. Like, except for at Michigan, whether it's Glenville State, West Virginia, Arizona had a 10-win season, Fiesta Bowl champs, and now at Jacksonville State. Like, that would be, like, the only, the one thing is, like, how close do you keep him? But Lincoln Riley does need to open up the doors.
Yes.
Because that's what Pete Carroll thrived
on. And Pete can show you how to do that. And if Lincoln's smart enough, he can channel that.
Yeah. Yeah. This will be very interesting. It's a great resource for Lincoln Riley, though. And USC. All right, we got college football tomorrow. Florida State taking on Georgia Tech, 9 a.m. in
Dublin.
Early. But then we have a game to watch out for.
Mm.
Montana State at New Mexico.
Mm.
We mentioned we were going over the tiers, and that bottom tier was New Mexico.
Indeed.
And Montana State from the Big Sky, 13.5-point favorites over
on
New Mexico.
The road.
On the road. Gotta love college football. Up next, 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. Prime time with Isaac and Suk, a Buck and Suk edition, next on The Fan.
Bye. This is fun.
Unbelievable.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.